Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Psalms 9, verse 17, a very familiar verse. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. The word forget God simply means no God for me. I'll do my thing. I'll have my good time. There may be a day down the road that I'll take God, but as for right now, I'm not going to do that. I've got my life before me. I'll do what I want to do. And in days to come, when I get older, I may trust God. Do you realize that's the attitude of a lot of people today? And how sad that is today, because you don't know when you're going to meet God. And the older I get, the more I realize every day is a gift from God. If you got up this morning able to move, that's a gift from God. And I want to say to you this morning, no God for you. That's what that means. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. You leave God out of your life, you live without Him, you'll die without Him. And then you'll spend eternity without Him. Notice in Amos chapter number 9. Amos chapter 9, if you have a Scofield Bible, that's 940. I'm only going to read one verse. Amos 9, notice in verse number 2. Though they dig into hell, Amos 9 verse 2. Though they dig into hell, then shall that my hand take hold of them, or take them. And though they climb to heaven, thence I will bring them down. I'm interested in one statement that's found in that verse. Though they dig into hell. Our focus this month here at the church is focusing on the mercy. And I want to say the Bible says in Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 24, the Bible said, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. So I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. If you want to entitle it, Mercies That Were Not in Hell. That's really not the title, but we're focusing on that this month. But I want to talk to you a little bit this morning, and I want to entitle it this. The Bible said, though they dig into hell. If you somehow or another could dig into hell this morning, I want to ask you this question. What would you find today? As somehow or other God will throw the curtain back. Or somehow or other you could dig into hell this morning. I wonder what you would find today. When you come to the book of Amos this morning, Amos was a country preacher. Amos was a herdsman. He was a shepherd. And Amos would have been a preacher in our day that would have been very unpopular. Because when you study about Amos, Amos was a man that would put the grease where it's Greek. When you come to the book of Hosea, it's about love. But when you come to the book of Amos this morning, it's about the judgment of God. And Amos was warning Judah and Israel here about the judgment of God. And Amos makes an awesome statement in this verse. He says in verse number 2, though they dig into hell. Think about that statement this morning. If you could dig into hell this morning, what would you find today? Now realize what I'm getting ready to say this morning is not popular. And I realize there may be somebody listening today that maybe might not appreciate what I'm getting ready to say. But I will tell you something this morning. Hell is a real place today. There's no question in my mind about that this morning. Hell today is a real place. And I realize this also today. The liberals try to deny that. The modernists try to mark it out. The new versions of the Bible have taken the word hell out of the Bible. But they can't take it out of the Word of God because it's settled in heaven this morning. And I want to say to you this morning, it is a real place today. Just like Glow Gap's a place. Just like Dobson is a place. Just like Mount Airy is a place. Just like heaven is a place. There's a place that's called hell today. And those that die without Jesus Christ and those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll die and they'll go to that place one day. That bothers me when I say that. That breaks my heart when I say that. I don't know of anything any worse than a man dying and going to hell. I was witnessing to a guy the other day, and I don't have time to tell you this whole story. But the end of the conversation is, I think his last words to me was hell. And he may be telling me to go there, but I ain't going. Are you hearing me this morning? And the worst thing you could ever say to anybody is go to hell. That's the worst thing you could ever say. And I'll just say this to you today. Though people don't believe in it, and I was looking this week on the internet at the statistics of those in the United States that believe in it. Most people do not even believe there's a literal burning hell today. If there's a heaven, there's a hell. And I promise you this one, there is. More than 70 times in our Bible, it talks about hell. Jesus preached on hell more than he did heaven. And I think about that today. All through the Word of God, it talks about it. How we're warned all through the Bible. There is a place this morning that's called hell today. First time it's mentioned in the Bible is found in Numbers chapter 16 and verse number 30. How the last time it's mentioned in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 14. How Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 20 says, 22 says this. And it shall burn to the lowest hell. Bible said in the book of Job, chapter 26, verse 6, hell is naked before him, and destruction has no covering. Our text says this morning, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Let me explain that. You don't have to be a drunk to go to hell. You don't have to be a drug addict to go to hell. Listen to me this morning. You don't have to be a prostitute to go to hell. You don't have to be a drug dealer to go to hell. You know who the wicked are? It's those that reject God. It's those that reject the blood of the Jesus Christ and trample on their feet the blood of the Son of God. They're wicked this morning. And the Bible said in Psalm 9, verse 17, and the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 24 says this, hail from beneath. Hail from beneath. Hail from beneath. We and it's not funny, but we do it somehow. We say heaven's up here and hell's down here. Well, the truth of the matter is that's true. That's exactly the truth this morning. Heaven is in the third heaven, and hell is in the heart of this earth. How Bible said hell from beneath is moved to meet thee. Again, Isaiah 14, verse number 9, hell from beneath, less than 12 miles from where I stand. There is a hot, blistering, burning fire in the heart of this earth. And I want to tell you, the Bible teaches you and I how hell is in the heart of the earth this morning. And every time somebody dies without God, they go to hell. Listen to me this morning. I'm not judging. I don't have to judge. The Bible does. But that is so true this morning. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14 says this. Hell has opened her mouth without measure. Hell has opened her mouth. Think about a copperhead snake. Something wrong with this man on the front row. He's the only guy I know that handles snakes. He's a Baptist. And think about a snake. Open its mouth. I was preaching this past week in South Carolina. And the part of South Carolina I was in, they have rattlesnakes. The rattlesnakes, they tell me in low gap, I don't want to see them. But think about walking down the street or walking through the yard. And there lays a rattlesnake, with his head up and his mouth open, ready to strike. You know what hell's like today? Hell has got a mouth open today and just waiting on you to die without God. And hear me this morning. Hell has opened her mouth without measure. That simply means this morning, multitudes on multitudes, 99 people a minute, they tell me, die and go to hell. Now more than that dies. Two every second dies. But tell me 99 people, statistics say 99 people every minute die and go to hell. And no wonder the Word of God said hell has opened her mouth without measure. And I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. And I want to take my watch off because I want to make sure I don't want to go over time. But I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about this statement that's found right here. Bible said, though I dig into hell this morning, now I'll ask you a question today. If somehow or another you could dig into hell, if we could somehow or another go to the heart of this earth, where there's hot, blistering, burning fire, and that's where hell is this morning, the Bible tells that. What would you find today? Well, I've heard a lot of jokes down through the years. I'm from Wilkes County, and boy, that crowd I'm used to run with, they'd say stuff like this: I want to be buried in a pauper coffin so I can pop and crack when I go through hell. Let me tell you something, friend. If you go to hell, you won't be thinking about a pauper coffin. How other guys would always say this: when we get down into hell, we're going to pull up a pop crate and we're going to talk a lot. I promise you it's not going to be that way. Oh, but hear me preach this morning. It's not going to be that way. Hell, what would you find if somehow or another we could open hell and uncap hell this morning and see what's in there? What would you find this morning? I'll give you two or three things and I'll be done. Number one, I'll say first of all today, Bible said in Psalm 9 verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Bible said in Luke 16 verse 26, listen to this verse. Luke 16 verse 26. And beside all this between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. Though that they that would pass from this, that man's in hell this morning. He wants somebody to come and help him. And I'll say first of all this morning, what would you find if you could dig into hell today? Now we know what's in heaven today. We know that. We preach about it all the time. It's a place of wonderful. No sickness, no sorrow, no problems. Heaven's going to be a great place. But think about hell this morning. If somehow or another we could dig deep enough and get into hell, what would we see? I'll say number one, first thing you'll find people that will never get out. Please hear me preach. And I don't preach this and enjoy preaching it. I preach it with a broken heart. You'll find people that will never get out. The only time you'll ever come out of hell, if you die right now, you'll come out to white throne judgment, have to be judged and then be put in the lake of fire. And by the way, hell and the lake of fire is two different places. And both of them going to be terrible. Are you hearing me? And I'll say this to you this morning. You'll find people that will never get out. Oh, they'll never come back. They'll never get out if they die without God. It's a place, listen, they'll never get out. Think about this today. Think about being confined to a place and not able to get out. Think about what I'm saying. Think about being confined to a place and not able to get out. If you're consigned to a jail or wherever, and you got 50 years, there would be just a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. There would be those, I'm sure, in jail today that's marking off their days because there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. But if you die and go to hell today, listen to me, you're going to find people that will never get out. Hear me this morning. I've got loved ones there. Listen to me today. I got loved ones here today. I got guys I'm just running on with according to their testimony. They died without God and they'll never get out. Think about hell this morning. It's everlasting. When we've been there 10,000 years, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we begun. But I want to say those that die without God, 10,000 years, they have no less days to suffer the wrath of God than when they begun. Hell's everlasting today. Bible said in Luke 16 that it's everlasting torment. Bible said in Mark chapter number 9 that it's everlasting burning. I don't know if you've ever been burned or not. I have. And I don't tell you that hurts. It's everlasting burning. Bible said in Matthew chapter number 8 verse number 12 that it's everlasting darkness. Outer darkness. Bible said in Matthew 7 verse 13, and it's everlasting destruction. Bible said in 2 Thessalonians 1 9, it's everlasting separation. Hear me preach this morning. Hey, those that go to hell, you'll find people that will never get out. Oh, they'll never get out. Are you listening to me? And I'll just say this to you today. It does something to me mentally. When I put in a place and can't get out. I know the jail ministry, we're limited right now what we can do. And when we go to jail, we're locked in. And Yakin jail, where I'm supposed to be the chaplain, I reckon, but anyhow, and Yakin jail. From the time you walk in the front door, Brother Robert, till you get to where those guys are, you're locked in seven times. You're not going to get out. And that does something to me. How many's ever had an MRI that you did it that wasn't an open MRI? You had to be put in the tunnel. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't know about you, but that does something to me. When they begin to mash that button and push me back in that barrel, I shut my eyes, Brother Sam. I can't handle that. And think about hell this morning. You're confined to a place. You'll never get out. And by the way, listen to this. In the book of Revelation, if you study the book of Revelation, have the word hell there seven times there. It talks about the abyss. And the abyss simply means the pit. And you know what a hell is today? It's a pit today. And think about what I'm saying to you. It's a pit today. You can't get out of it. There's no way. Isaiah 38 verse number 17 talks about that place. And the word hell that's used there, it talks about a ditch. In the Hebrew, it talks about a ditch. It talks about a grave. It talks about a pit. But it also talks about a trap. It's like catching a rabbit. Do you all understand this kind of language? How many knows what a rabbit gum is? All right, rest of you, see some of us have service. We'll educate you. When you trap a rabbit, it's not getting out. Are y'all hearing me? It's not getting out. And I'll say this to you today. If you die and go to hell today, you're going to find people that will never get out. They're not going to get out. It's forever and forever and forever. Never another opportunity. My wife and I, when we were in missions, our first 3 years in 2000, 2001, 2002, and 3, we basically lived in a 30-foot motorhome. When I was out west in Canada, we lived in that motorhome. And there was days I would tell her, I can't handle this no more. We didn't have slide outs. It was just a straight motorhome, 30-foot motorhome. We didn't have slide outs on it. And there was days that I would stop and rent a motel room to get out of that box for a little while. Are y'all hearing me this morning? And listen, friend, some of you got a daddy that's going to go to hell if he don't get saved. Some of you got a mama that's going to spend eternity in that place if he don't get saved. And perhaps there's somebody in this room this morning that's lost without God. And you'll find people if you dig into hell. You'll find people that shall never get out. I don't know about you, but that does something to me this morning. Being in a place, confined to that place. I want to say number two, if you could dig into hell this morning, you're not only going to find people that will never get out. Focusing on his mercy. We're focusing on mercy. If you're not in hell, that's mercy. But listen to me, number two, I want to say not only you'll find people that will never get out, but if we could dig into hell this morning, we'll find pain that will never let up. Pain that will never let up. The wicked shall be turned into hell, them that reject God. You can come to church and not get saved. You can be a member of Amazing Grace and not get saved. You can carry King James Bible and not be saved. You can wear a necktie and not be saved. The wicked shall be turned into hell. Hey, you'll not only find people that won't get it, can't get out, but you'll find pain that will never let up. Think about what I'm saying today. That will never let up. Listen to what the Bible said, Luke 16, verse 23. Bible said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. It's got an S on it. Being in torments. And seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Listen to this verse. Luke 16, 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. We're focusing on mercy. Have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger and water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. He didn't ask for a bottle of water, Brother Jim. He asked for somebody to come and just a drop. I know y'all don't see that. Just a drop. And many Bible scholars believe this. In the pit walls and charred walls of hell, there is no water to drink. But many commentators will tell you, in the charred walls of hell, it's a possibility. There's water dripping off the walls, but you'll never be able to get it. He said, send him that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Are y'all hearing me preach this morning? I'm telling you what you're going to find. You're going to find pain that will never let up. Forever and forever and forever is pain that will never let up. Oh, my soul, think about what I'm saying today. This morning, I'm laying in the bed. I must have woke up 5 times last night. You want me to tell you why I woke up? I woke up bothered about this message. It's been on me for 2 months. And I woke up bothered about this. My wife's sitting here and she'll witness this. I preach about it every week of my life. I've not preached on this in 2 years, have I? And God, I kept waking up. This morning, a little bit after six, it's time to get up. And I started to make a move, Brother Robin. And how many's ever had a cramp right there? Oh, Lord. I spoke in tongues. I done everything. My wife jumped up and said, I'm so sorry. Want me to go get you some salt put on your tongue? That will help it, by the way. I said, no, get my leg and pull it. Because that muscle in there was doing this. And she got up and she pulled my leg. That's why I'm limping now. She pulled it out. John. But listen to me. Hear what I'm getting ready to say to you. My wife said this morning. If that didn't go away, you'd have a heart attack. And that is true. I'm telling you, that's indescribable pain. You want me to tell you what you'll find if you dig into hell? You'll find pain that will never let up. There'll be nobody to pull your leg. There'll be nobody to put water on your tongue. Oh, my soul, hear me this one. Listen, it's pain that shall never let up. Bible talks about during the tribulation. There'll be such agony and pain that will gnaw their tongue. Down through the years when I pastored almost 40 years, I've been in a lot of hospitals and I saw people that was hurting. And I would see them gnaw their tongue because of the excruciation, the pain they were going through. And I would say to you this one, that's what hell's like this morning. It's people that won't get out. It's a pain that shall never let up. Oh, brother. You know what Jesus done? Jesus did a comparison about hell. The word hell in the New Testament, it talks about Gehenna. Gehenna was a dump in Jesus' day. And it's where they would throw the broken pottery. It was a landfill. It also was where Israel would sacrifice their babies to unknown gods. And it was a fire that was burning at burn 24/7. And Jesus walked by that one day and said to the people with him, look at that. That smoke is going up forever and ever. It never goes out. Jesus said, that's what hell's like. And I'll say to you this one, that is what hell's like today. It's pain that will never let up. There'll be no pain medicine in hell. There'll be no Novocaine in hell. There'll be no IV lines in hell to help ease the pain. There'll be no morphine in hell. The rich man said, I'm tormented in these flames. And I will tell you, there'll be no ice packs in hell. There'll be no cold water drink in hell. There'll be no comfort in hell. I'm telling you, it's pain that will never let up. Oh, my Lord. I'm telling you, it's pain. Screaming, agonizing, gnawing the tongue. You say, preacher, you're painting an awful picture. I'm talking about focusing on the mercy of God. It's God's mercy that I didn't go to hell, friend. And I'll say to you this morning, if you're not saved, it's God's mercy that you're here this morning. So you'd hear this message or somebody by out watching by internet. So you won't have to die and go to this awful place where people never get out. And pain shall never let up. If I could dig into hell, what would I find? Number three, I'll say you'll find people won't get out. You'll find pain that will never let up. But you're talking about hell. Here's hell. You'll find a memory, a physical mind, that will never go away. You say, preacher, you believe I'll have the same body I got right now if I go to hell? Exactly right. That boy that died and went to hell in Luke 16 had all five senses. You got arthritis now, you have arthritis in hell. You got cancer now, you have cancer in hell. You have one limb missing, you will have one limb missing in hell. And by the way, you know what Jesus said about that? Jesus said, if your right hand, he'd use the best one, the right hand. He said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. You say, what does that mean? That literally means chop it off. You say, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. That's what it means. And the reason he said that was this. It'd be a whole lot better you enter the life maimed than having two hands to die and go to hell and spend eternity in hell. Are y'all hearing me preach this morning? If your hands will cause you to go to hell, you'd be better cut off. He said, if your foot offend thee, I cut it off. But get this. He said, if your eye offend thee, If that's going to cause you to not get saved, pluck that thing out. You'd be better off entering the life maimed than dying and going to hell. Are you hearing me preach this morning? And by the way, if you go to hell today, listen to me. That physical mind will never go away. You'll have all five senses. You'll feel, you'll smell, you'll see. Read your Bible. Luke 16 is not a parable. It's a true story. In Jesus' day, or in Moses' day, as a matter of fact, when it was, and that boy died without God and wound up in hell and was screaming and begging. And he said, listen, he had a mind he could remember. This verse right here. Verse 25. And Abraham said, son, he's wanting out. Luke 16, 25. He's wanting out of hell. Look what happens. Verse 25. And Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received the good things and Lazarus evil things. That just simply means Lazarus got saved and he didn't. Now he is confident thou art tormented. Verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf. So that they would pay, they can't come. And what he simply said, you'll have a mind. Listen to this. I really believe if you go to hell without God, you're going to remember every time God spoke to your heart. You're going to remember every time these ladies played on these instruments over here. Just as I am with that one plea. Oh, but thy blood was shed. You remember that. You remember the man of God standing in this pulpit weeping and crying and begging you to come and get saved. And you rejected God. You went out those doors lost for that. You remember that. And can I tell you something this morning? There are people today that would give worlds without end if they had one more opportunity to get saved. But it's too late. It's too late. Hey, you'll remember that. You'll remember every message you've had. And listen to me this morning. You're not here by accident. Well, now, Brother Barker, I just drove in this morning just to be here. Wonder who helped you drive in here. Wonder, are y'all hearing me? He's got you here for a reason. I don't know who you are, but he's got you here for a reason today. And I'll say this to you. You'll find physical pain. You'll find a physical mind that will never go away. You'll remember. You'll remember. Oh, Lord, my soul, hear me this morning. You'll remember. Hear me this morning. Your mind will haunt you for all eternity. And by the way, there ain't no all to it. It's just forever and forever and forever. I'm done. Get this and I'm done. You'll say, preacher, if I could dig into hell, what would I find? You'll find people that will never get out. You'll find pain that will never let up. You'll find a physical mind that will never go away. Last of all, you'll find past opportunities that will never come back. Past opportunities that will never come back. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, this old boy right here, he wanted another opportunity, but he didn't get it. And listen to what it says right here. Bible said in verse 29, Luke 16, he says in verse 28, I got five brethren. Somebody needs to go tell my brethren about this place. I preached Brother J.K. Ferris many, many times. And I remember many years ago back in the 80s, I preached Brother J.K. J.K. had five brothers lost. Some of y'all worked with him at Reynolds. Had five brothers that's lost. But I think he got saved. But watch this verse, verse 28. I have five brethren. That I may testify unto them, lest they come. Somebody go tell my brethren. Somebody go tell my family. Somebody go tell my mama. Somebody go tell my daddy. Hell's a terrible place. Somebody go tell them. Look at the next verse. And Abraham said, son. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, nay, but if one went to... And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Look at this verse. And he said unto them, if they'll not hear the man of God, if they'll not hear Moses, if they'll not listen to the preaching, neither would they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You know what he's saying? If you don't hear the message that God's got, you ain't got no other message. There's not another change. Listen to me. The sky's not going to turn blue or black or gray to get you to get saved. God gives his word out. You either receive it or you reject it. And I want to say this to you this morning. Here's what you'll find if you dig into hell today and I'm done. You'll find past opportunities that will never come back. You know, salesman has a way, especially car salesman. What would it take to get you by this car today? By the way, I forgot to tell you, there's a man come by yesterday, said he'd be by tomorrow, put a down payment on it. You better buy it today. They probably lie about other stuff too, but listen. Are you listening? They have a way of putting pressure on you to get you to make a decision. I'm not trying to get you to do anything but obey God this morning. Don't you listen to me. That past opportunity will be gone one day, and you'll never, ever, ever have that opportunity again. You know what the Bible said in Ezekiel chapter number 33, verse 11? God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God don't want you to go to hell. Hear me this morning. God don't want you to go to hell. And if you go there this morning, you're going to find past opportunities that will never come back. I want to give you this little story and I'm done. I'll read this before I say that. Someone said, I wrote this down this week. Someone said, one of the most dreadful things about the torment of hell is the fact it's too late to repent. Too late to repent. Down through the years, 47 years of preaching, I've seen a lot of people die. I've stood by the bedside. Will you come, piano? I've stood, don't play, just come. I've stood by the bedside of a many and a many of people and watched them draw their last breath. Some of it was pleasant. Some of it was very unpleasant. Years and years ago, I'm not going to tell the church and I'm not going to give the time, but years and years ago, I went to pastor a church, moved into the pastorium, parsonage, and by the way, it wasn't Northwood, moved into parsonage. That's the start on a Sunday morning. I'd been there and preached. They'd already put me in for pastor. My phone rang one night on a Saturday night before I start my ministry there on Sunday. A woman on the other end of the phone said this, "Sir, are you the new pastor?" I said, "I am." Then she made this statement, "Do you take the same stand as a former pastor did on a certain issue?" And she didn't call him former pastor, she called him by his name. And you never call a preacher by his first name. He's preacher, he's pastor. That upset me when she said that about the preacher. But she said, "Do you take the same stand as he did on a certain issue?" I said, "Absolutely." And what I didn't realize, Brother Robert, she lived right beside of me. I didn't know that. I stayed at that church for years and years and years and years. And my years of being there, because of my stand on certain things, she didn't really think a lot of me. But she would come to church pretty regular to hear my wife sing. And she would endear the preaching. Well, I loved that lady. She didn't love me, but I loved her. I cared about her, but she didn't care about me. There come a time in her life she got sick and got cancer. And her whole family come to our church, or most of the family did. She got sick and she got cancer. I'm talking about somebody dying. And we visited her and visited her. I loved her the whole years I was there. And I remember when she got sick, I tried my best, brother, to win her to God. I tried to get her to see she's going to die. She wasn't ugly to me. She never was ugly to me. But she just didn't want to hear what I had to say. So when I saw I wasn't going to be able to win her, I sent my wife. She liked my wife. And I sent my wife to try to win her to God. Try to get her past her church membership. Church membership, it won't get you out the front door. Are you hearing me? She was nice to me, she's not, but she wouldn't get saved. Then I sent the whole ladies group over. She still wouldn't get saved. You know the process of cancer. She took the treatments, went through the whole nine yards, and it just got worse and it got worse. And there come times she's about to die. She's in the hospital time and time again. I'd always go by and love her and be good to her and pray with her. And there come that final time. I wish I didn't know this. I wish I'd never seen this. She's about to die. Her sister called me at 2:00 in the morning. She said, my sister died. Could you meet us at the hospital? I said, sister, I'll be there before you get there. And I went down to the old Forsyth Hospital before they built the new part. Walked up on the seventh floor where the council floor was at that time. And I walked in that room. Took 2:30 in the morning. I got there before the family did. I wish I'd have never seen what I seen. She's laying there, she's dying. She's grasping for breath. She hadn't even, I don't even think she spoke probably in a week or so. But all of a sudden she come alive. She woke up. She began to move around. She looked up at me. And then she took her little bony hand. Started pushing back. She said, no. No! And I turned to go out of the room. And when I turned to go out of the room, the Holy Ghost said, don't you move. I didn't want to see that. I was going to go get a nurse. She's pushing back. And she took her bony fingers and got a hold of that cover and tried to cover her head up and took her other arm and tried to push back. I'm not telling you she went to hell, but by all of her testimony, that's not my call, but by her testimony, you know a tree by the fruits it bears. By her testimony, Brother Jerry, I believe she probably died lost. And I stood there that morning at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning before the family got there. And watched that woman die. She didn't have enough strength for the week before to even move her last 3 minutes alive. She began to pull that cover up over her face and took it her other arm and began to push back. No! 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 And then she began to push up into bed. And you know, on the wall, you got this sweep of toxin and that hook odds. She's pushing up past that. I thought, dear God, I don't want to see this. And after a bit, she took her final breath and died. Listen to me, church. Hell's real. People go there. Every day people go there. If I was in this service and I had one doubt about whether or not I save, I'm not trying to get you to make a move. That's not, I'm not in that kind of business. I'm just trying to keep you out of hell this morning. There's one doubt. I tell you what I'd do. I'd have gone to that altar, and if I had stayed there at 3 o'clock this evening to get that settled, if we could dig into hell, somehow or another God would allow us to just dig into hell, you'd never have to give another course on soul winning. I'll guarantee you that. If we believe what I preached this morning, we'd keep our pockets full of tracts. We'd fast and pray. Oh, God.